and it's a serious might be killed. It's not the Peter Pan sense when you know for sure the good guys are going to win. The Princess and the Goblin, because of who the characters are, it's very possible that one or the other of the main characters could be killed or carried away by the goblins or destroyed in some way, and the kingdom could be knocked down, and there could be an unhappy ending. And that's, again, very important because it's allowing for the evolution of adult ideas to go into fantasy. I want to just say a couple more things about Princess and the Goblin because it's unfamiliar. Princess and the Goblin brings in the figure of the goblin, who's going to be really important in Tolkien, though Tolkien's going to call them orcs once he gets done with writing The Hobbit. Fantasy seems to need bad guys that you can fight against and that you can kill without feeling bad. And despite the general bloodthirstiness of the Victorians in other areas, they weren't particularly happy with slaughtering other humans in their literature. And the use of the goblin monster, this is a fairly weak, any individual goblin can be defeated in a battle. It's the whole horde of goblins that's the problem. That sets up one of the characteristic elements of fantasy literature, which is the very, very large set-piece battle, the battle of thousands against thousands, or the hero who can slaughter hundreds of monsters as they come by. They have to be fairly weak monsters, and you have to not feel sorry for them. And the way MacDonald creates his goblins, which are hideous, scary, and basically invulnerable, except for their feet. It's very strange. If you hit a goblin in MacDonald, if you hit a goblin on the head with a sword, the sword bounces off. But if you step on its feet, it screams and runs off crying. And this idea of the soft feet is played up throughout the whole book until, in one of the great twists, the truly evil queen of the goblins has granite shoes and is therefore invulnerable to the attacks of the hero. The other thing about Princess and the Goblin is, more so than Peter Pan or Alice in Wonderland, where elements of, say, romance or sexuality are very sublimated. Peter Pan's still a boy, Wendy's still a girl, even though there might be deeper attraction issues and issues with Wendy's father and Captain Hook and so forth that you could ferret out. They're not explicit. And likewise in Alice in Wonderland, you can say all you want that Lewis Carroll, whose real name was Charles Dodgson, had a kind of sick thing for little girls. But in the book Alice in Wonderland, there's nothing explicit that could be said that, oh, that's sexual, or that's even romance level. Alice is not going to marry anyone, and so forth. The Princess and the Goblin, the princess of the title, and Curdie, the boy who eventually rescues her, there's a very clear attraction and romance, even though they're, say, 10-year-olds. They're falling in love with each other in some way. And that element of romance added to fantasy, again, pulls it further out of the nursery, which is very important for the development.